Hey there, wild one.
I'll never forget the first time I heard the phrase mother wound. I was in a moon circle with 20 women, and we were all sharing about our childhoods and what we were still holding on to. The theme was strong, and I was shocked that we were all feeling similarly. It began a massive piece of healing for me. I've followed today's guest for a couple of years now, and I recently finished her free 6-part podcast called Renurturing. It felt so aligned with my word for this year, nurture. And when I had an intro call with her to get her on the podcast, I really wanted to talk about what this looks like while parenting. How do we break the pattern? And she really encouraged me that we start with today's conversation first, healing our daughterhood. While this conversation is more intended for the sisters and the eldest daughters, my husband got a lot out of it while he was editing. He said a lot resonated. Today's guest is Jada Dobesh. She is the founder of Jada Dobesh Healing Company, the private healing practice within Sela Space, a holistic wellness nonprofit in Sioux Falls. Jada is known for building both babies and businesses at the same time, and she brings a uniquely grounded, maternal, and intuitive presence to her work. She holds a master's in Christian leadership from Sioux Falls Seminary and certifications in spiritual direction, Reiki, and brain spotting. And she has a lifelong passion for feminine wellness, daughterhood healing, and the mother wound. Jada's work is guided by her belief that women deserve to be tended to, supported, and deeply seen. She creates spaces where healing feels safe, sacred, and possible. And today's episode is absolutely a reflection of that. Let's dive in and find out what's possible when we spend time with our inner child and heal our daughterhood.
Reclaim your rhythm. Rethink the rules. Rewrite your life. This is Wildly Intentional, the show where we question the scripts we've inherited and build a life, family, and legacy on purpose. If you're done living on autopilot, come with a curious mind and a courageous heart. Here, we talk about what it means to question, unlearn, create, and build what truly matters. I'm your host, Mandy, maverick mom of three, maker, family culture builder, lifelong question asker, and the friend people call when they're ready to rethink, well, everything. I'm here to shake the norms, tell the truth, and light the way forward. Hi, Jada.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
I am so glad to be here, Mandy. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I've been following your work for quite some time, and it's a real treat to me that you are on today. My word for the year is nurturing. So your whole concept of re-nurturing, it's perfect. And I'm just thrilled you're here. So for those that don't follow your work yet or aren't familiar with you, would you please just start by introducing yourself? And who is Jada? What do you do?
My name is Jada Dobesh. I like to think of myself as your emotional support mom. I want to help you heal those pieces of you that hurt. And I do that with a whole host of things: spiritual direction, Reiki, brain spotting, mother wound healing, daughterhood healing. And I do that in one-on-one and group settings.
Amazing. Jada, even the concept of like a mother wound or a daughter wound, all of this was new to me. Like I'd never even had that terminology in my vernacular until like up until about 5 years ago. So for anyone that's like, what is she talking about? What does she do? Like, do you want to dive into what is a mother wound or a daughter wound even? What does that mean?
Yeah. So mother wound gets kind of this like knee-jerk reaction of, I don't want to know anything about that, because we have been raised to be respectful of mom. Don't talk that way about mom. She's done so much for you. She gave you life. And So we get this idea when we hear mother wound that this is about blaming mom for everything that's ever gone wrong in your life. And that's absolutely not the case. A mother wound is just where you didn't get what you needed from her the way you needed it on time. So you can have the best mom in the world and have a mother wound. You can have a mostly great childhood, which is what I hear all the time, and still have a mother wound. And part of that is because mother wound is such a broad term. I like to break it into three different categories. One is a personal mother wound. These tend to be the most painful and the most resistance to heal because we don't want to mess with a relationship with our mom. And that's the fear. So a personal mother wound is, I didn't get what I needed from my mom, and that hurt me in this way. A cultural mother wound is the next kind. And this is patriarchy. This is the way culture takes care of moms, which is poorly. In our culture, we think they're superheroes, but we're not going to help them with anything, right? That's a cultural mother wound. And then we've also got generational mother wounds. So that's mom didn't get what she needed from grandma, and it impacted the way she mothered me. And that can go 7 generations back and still be impacting us. So the combination of those 3 different types of mother wounds pretty much guarantees that you have a mother wound, and that's okay.
Right. It sounds like it, right? Like, just, yeah. I mean, if we dive into any of these, right, like a personal mother wound, the basics of wants versus needs and how that's different for every child.
I even love what you just said because you're already telling me what's valid to need from mom and what's not. So needs and wants are one of my favorite topics. We spend a whole day on it in Need to Be Nurtured. Needs and wants are almost exactly the same thing. The difference is wants are something that you will have to step out and go get in some way or advocate for or ask for. It's going to require action from you. And a need might require action from somebody else.
Yeah, I just got off a whole bunch of nonprofit calls talking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs and what do you do for community that don't have basic needs met?
Yep. But basic needs and emotional needs, we lump everything under basic needs, and that's not the case. So a child has needs that are not just food, shelter, clothing.
Right. Like being nurtured. Love.
Like being nurtured. Yep. But we have been raised culturally to believe that mom was working so hard, she did the best she could. So it's okay that she didn't meet those emotional needs because you had everything you needed in terms of clothing, food, you got to be in sports. You know, somebody was always watching you, those kinds of things.
But what you're helping people with is dealing with the emotional and the other needs that weren't met.
Validating them, because most of us don't even believe that those needs are real, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. I think people forget the whole pyramid of Maslow's, right? Which is like your survival needs to like self-actualization. But there's actually tiers there.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting concept that there's so many different types of needs and they all have validation. And as a child, needing them all met.
Right. And every kid has different needs, right? Their hierarchy might look different than yours. And so this is where, too, it's not mom's fault that she didn't meet your needs, but maybe she didn't know what those needs were. My favorite example of this is when I was probably a middle schooler, myself, my younger brother, and my younger sister all had horrible colds, but we needed to go to school. And that was pre-COVID. So you, of course you were going. Mm-hmm. And my mom stopped at the grocery store on the way to school. And she went in to get us each our own bag of cough drops so that we could have cough drops throughout the day and not have to keep bothering her in her office. She worked at the school. So she goes in and she gets three bags of cough drops and she comes back into the car beaming. And she says, I got all of my kids their favorite flavor of cough drops. And she pulls out the basically candy halls that were like cream saver, strawberry dream sickle or whatever, hands them to my sister, and then an orange dream sickle one for my brother. And then she hands me plain grapefruit halls cough drops, literally the grossest flavor on the planet. And I remember sitting there going, oh, she doesn't know me at all. Did she do anything wrong? No. Was she being mean? No. Did she not know my favorite flavor of cough drop? No. But her beaming about it made me feel like I couldn't tell her. Like, I don't want to ruin this buzz she's got going on for thinking she's so great. The oldest daughter in me was like, just suck it up and have the crappy cough drops. But I didn't feel seen and understood in that moment. My need was being met. I had a cough drop. Everything was fine, technically.
You are bringing up two things for me, Jada.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah. It's making me question my parenting on, like, am I doing that to the kids?
We're going to get to that, Mandy. But here is something so, so important. We don't heal any of this from a motherhood space. We heal from a daughterhood space. So we have to be thinking as daughters when we heal mother wounds.
Jada, I am a product of the 80s and 90s. Like, I'm fine. Okay.
Yes.
But like, I actively am in the thick of motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
I have to, like,
yeah,
I feel like to stop the cycle, I have to, like, be different.
Yeah. But how can you be different? How can you be different just magically? You can't.
But I don't so want we to have do to, that to them.
Totally. And here's the really beautiful thing. Two things. First, if you have a good relationship with your kids, you will be able to repair any damage that is done in the meantime. But the only way that you are going to move forward and actually move out of these daughter wounds and these mother wounds is to tend to yourself. That is the first thing you can do. We can come back to another meeting. We can record another podcast episode and talk about, yeah, we can talk about preventing mother wounds, right? And living in a healed motherhood space. But first, we have to heal the daughterhood.
Do you see that a lot, Jada? Like, I feel like it's a sense of self-worth. Like,
yes.
I'm fine. I'm just going to keep plowing through. I need to prioritize. Mm-hmm. Is that a common thing or is that a meme?
Oh, yeah. We'll do anything for our kids. That's when people come to see me. Is like, I can see my daughter doing these things. I can see my daughter trying to take care of me emotionally. I need to stop this. And we finally start doing this work. And then it's like, okay, but how do I fix the motherhood right now? You can't. Because what's really happening, adult mom Mandy up here, with all of the Instagram accounts she follows and books she reads and knowledge she has obtained about motherhood, she is a grade A, brilliant mom who can do no wrong. And inside her, Russian doll style, is a little 7-year-old Mandy who is deeply afraid of getting in trouble. And she is stronger than you, adult Mandy, because she's been around for 20, 30 years. And she takes over in those moments. So when the door slams and we are overstimulated and it's been a hard day and now your daughter's throwing a tantrum about what you're making for dinner, you're losing it because 7-year-old Mandy goes, you need to be grateful for what I cooked you, you little brat. And that is who snaps. Not grown-up mom, Mandy.
Can we pause here for a second and just let this land?
Yeah.
That's really like, yeah, you need to be grateful for that.
Yeah.
Yes. So you said something else. Okay, I will accept. Let's focus on our little, I call her Mini Mandy because it just sounds good. And I love alliteration, right? Like,
yes.
So Mini Mandy, let's just focus on the little versions of ourselves for this episode. Mm-hmm. We just need to like, I don't know. I was even thinking about this today, Jada, as I was like, I've been working on shifting episodes to YouTube videos and putting things on.
Oh, yeah.
And as a result, you know, we're all about get it done. Let's do it fast. Let's do this. And we're listening to things in 2x speed and 1.5 speed. And I was like, can this just be permission to listen to something in real time? Right? Like to the point where I think you and I work intentionally enough that it's like, I'm taking a breath. Like it's a pause that it doesn't 2x speed. There is no pause.
Yeah.
We're just blowing through it. Right. And I think I finished your podcast on the renurturing your inner child.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is just like you telling us that we're worth it to take up space, to have time to do this work to the point where I was a little annoyed, you know, like, okay, Jada, I get it. But then it's like, God, why am I annoyed by that or triggered by that? Because I don't know that I've been allowed to just think or be or do this. Urgency is such a thing, you know?
It's a mother wound. Truly. It's think of all the times you were told to hurry up. Let's get going. Hurry it up. Get this done. Get out the door. Why don't you have your shoes on yet? I say it all the time. I told you to put your shoes on. Hurry up. That's a mother wound. And again, we have to heal that from a daughter space so that we can handle it differently as mothers. And so it's about taking a breath and taking care of the little girl inside of you who feels rushed, who feels like her needs don't matter, her time frame doesn't matter. She's the to-do list never ends, right? That's where that sense of urgency often comes from, is if we don't do this fast, we'll never get done. We'll never get to the bottom of the list. I will never be able to rest. Everybody's needs are always going to come before mine. The amount of moms I hear talking about how, like, getting interrupted is the most infuriating thing, and it's because somebody else needs me again. Again. It's always, always something. And I'm going to get interrupted. And then you think back, we put it back in the daughterhood mindset. How many times were you watching TV in the middle of an episode and your mom came up the stairs and you got to get this cleaned up, put your stuff away, take care of this, take out the dishes, you know, unload the dishwasher, take out the trash, or dad walks in and you shut the TV off and you start acting busy. We are afraid of relaxing. We are afraid of not being busy, and we're afraid of never getting done.
And we need permission to rest.
We need permission to rest. Yeah, let it land.
So talk to me about the oldest daughter. I am the oldest daughter. My mom was an oldest daughter. Like I've been seeing so much about eldest daughter syndrome and parentification and just like, what does that have to do with any of it?
Yeah. So oldest daughters are, I think of it like it's the parenting first pancake, right? When you make pancakes, the first one is never right because the pan's not hot enough yet or it's too hot. It's a dud. And the daughter is not a dud, but your first parenting go, you're trying your best, but you're still a kid most of the time. You're trying to get your career going. You're trying to figure out the right daycare. You're trying to figure out, do I stay home? And if I stay home, who am I? Now you're in an identity crisis. And you're trying to nurture this baby. You've never been through postpartum before. Then before you even kind of get a grip on this, here comes the next baby. And now it's, can you hand mommy that thing? Watch your brother. Your brother, just a minute. I'm changing the diaper. I got to get him down for a nap. All of those things. Parenting is just so volatile with that first kid. Because of all of those factors, you also have less money and higher expectations of those kids, usually. So the first daughter is taking in so much more of this little family unit than any subsequent kid does. And that, even if you have parents that are very mindful of that, as oldest daughters and moms, we're very mindful of how we treat our oldest daughter because we know, right? But it's almost like she's got a mind of her own, like you can't stop the train. That's also her personality, right? It's also the expectation she has on herself because there's no model before her to say, you're doing too much, or it's really that easy, or you don't have to do that. Nobody will notice. Like, she's got no role model. She's guessing. And she's setting the bar for the other kids, and she's helping you in your motherhood, and she's showing you who you are, and it's just both of you fighting for your inner lives as mother and daughter. It's just a lot. And it's also so, so beautiful. I don't want to paint it as this bad thing. I also love being an oldest daughter. It was magical.
Yeah, I prided myself on being a mother hen and like really feeling responsible for my siblings and like wanting to protect them, wanting to help them, wanting to take care of them.
And it's great to be the first one to do stuff. And it's such a freedom to not have somebody who went before you, like no expectation to do it how they did it. You might have that with your mom, but that's kind of different. It's not peer to peer. And so I remember my brother being frustrated with me when we were in high school because I was really great at speech, oral and terp. And he was also very good at it, but he would like people would say, oh, you're Jada's brother from other towns. Like everybody was like, you must be really good because you're Jada's brother. And that was really hard on him. And so everybody's got their things. I work mostly with oldest daughters, but though there are circumstances where the middle child who's a daughter, has it just as bad or worse as the older daughter does. And there are situations where the youngest daughter is really struggling too. Everybody's got their stuff, but the oldest daughter, man, it is a nuanced, textured experience.
Yeah. So like, what about sibling wounds or like, you know,
yeah.
I mean, when you're sitting in this daughterhood space, are you also sitting in this sisterhood space of like,
oh, yeah,
the role that I played in my siblings, like out of wounding?
It is so oldest daughter for you to worry about how you've hurt your siblings. I understand. And it's not your responsibility. The fact that you feel responsible is another mother/daughter wounding. It's the cultural expectation that you're the mother hen and that you'll take care of everybody else. And that you are the emotional temperature check of the entire family unit.
Yeah, I think you just like when you start to do this work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you realize like things that you've done for siblings or two siblings or mm-hmm. your parents mm-hmm. or others, right? That were like,
absolutely
not trying to justify it, but being like,
nope.
Yeah, I was really hurting.
Yeah.
And then wanting to make it right. Right. And it's like, do I write a letter?
Yeah.
Do I do something? Like, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. Having this level of awareness that
yeah.
in real time mm-hmm. was a deafness or a blindness.
Yep. I think that's such an important question. And what I like to tell my clients in that moment is awareness is not the same as healed wholeness.
Talk
so
to me about
just
that.
Because you know that what you did was wrong and how you should have handled it does not mean that talking to them about it right now would heal anything into wholeness. You healing and giving yourself grace and compassion, forgiving yourself, comforting yourself through how hard that experience must have been for you. And I totally understand why you acted the way that you did. Without that grace, nothing transmutes into healed wholeness. And so then we have to wait. Any repairing you want to do before you're healed is ego. You want a clear conscience. You want them to like you. You want them to know you're doing a good job healing. That's all beautiful, but it's not wholeness. And so just hold on to that. We're just going to set that over there and we'll come back to it. And it will come up naturally because there's a divine timing in healing. And the conversation will happen when it's supposed to happen.
It's so good, Jada. I mean, I feel like everything you're saying points back to like you worry about you.
Yes.
And I think this gets back to what you identified, right? Where it's like it's a personal thing, a generational thing, or a cultural thing. And I think culturally we are told that is selfish.
Yep. You bet we are.
You know, so it feels like, well, if I know this, shouldn't I share that? You know, or like, if I'm doing this, then of course they need to do this. Like, your point, like that is a cultural expectation.
Let's just set a baseline understanding that it's very unlikely that anybody else in your family wants to do this work. And that's okay. If they do, let it be a happy surprise that you have a glass of wine over at some point. But let's baseline assume nobody wants to look behind the curtain. They like the way things are. They're good. They just want to keep moving forward. That's the status quo. You're the weirdo that wants to sort through it. And we love you for that. Welcome to the club. But you don't need to bring them along.
And to be clear, you're not just talking to Mandy specifically. You're talking to just anybody wanting to work on healing their inner child, their daughter wound, their mother wound, right?
Like
anybody
listen,
willing to do this work
most
that's
of this
made it
work,
this far into this episode, right? Like a lot of people have dropped off by now. This is uncomfortable stuff that we're not getting into.
Yes.
I'm and complaining about people or keep ho-humming or whatever the hell we're doing, right? Like
and
whether it's effective or not, whether it's healthy or not, they're not listening at this point. So if you are.
And listen, most of the work that you're going to do with me or in this mother wound healing space is going to happen in your head, in a journal, in a locked room with your therapist. Like, this is very personal. It is not as relational as anybody thinks. This is not about your relationship with your mom at present, usually. Abusive relationships, narcissistic moms, we've got outliers here. But usually the daughter wound is in the past. And so this all has to happen in your head and individually.
And in your
home. But it's about you, and you've done the mini podcast. It's about connecting with that little girl inside of you and talking to her and spending your day with her. And it sounds cuckoo bananas, if we're being honest. Like, to the person who hasn't been healing for a long time, they're like, what do you mean I'm going to talk to an imaginary version of me that's 6 years old? That sounds like multi-personal or multi-personality disorder or split personality disorder, right? Like, that is weird.
I've been spending a lot of time there. And maybe it's because I did do your mini podcast series and I loved that. And I mean, to the point where after I listened to the first one, I went and found this picture.
Yeah.
mini Mandy, right? And I'm like, I want to be able to see her. I want to, like, I'm visual, so it's helpful for me. And I've saved this picture of myself. I think it's my kindergarten picture as my screensaver on my phone.
Yeah.
And so my kids are seeing the younger version of me. And I feel like I'm spending a lot of time with her. I don't have the ability to necessarily sit down and journal at length all the time. But seeing that, you know, and then I'm nursing my baby or seeing that and trying to fall asleep. I'm, to your point,
thinking about her
in my head, like thinking about her. And yeah, the one episode you had in there about just like big you meet little you, like the tears were just flowing. And like you were saying things like, you know, she's just so excited to see you. And that thought for me of just like little me meeting the Mandy that like is the mom. That was always my dream as a kid, was to be a mom. Just made me, I'm starting to tear up now because it's just like thinking about little Mandy meeting me. Like, if that's all you're doing today, friend, listening to this, like just pause and take that nugget from Jada's podcast series. And that was profound for me. And it felt so like, I think my jaw would have hit the floor as a child. I've been like, she made it. She's a mom. Like, unlocked. And I feel like, what would that have unlocked for me to dream bigger?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like to see your dream come in. Like, yeah, man, I got three kids. Like, yeah. I'm doing it. I mean, I just would have been like, anything is freaking possible.
And even the mom that you are is beyond what she was imagining. Like, have you thought about that?
No.
Yeah.
That's such because, a good point.
Yeah. Little you, the best mom you could possibly think of was maybe a half step above your mom. Like, that was the baseline. Your mom was the baseline. That's probably who I'll be. And now here you are. And you are this emotionally regulating, feelings, talking about feelings and snuggling and meeting those emotional needs that maybe you didn't have met as a mom or as a kid by your mom. She's in awe of you.
That's really fun to think about.
Yeah.
Let's just pause here for a second and think, if you are listening to this, what would little you think about meeting big you right now? What would you recommend to somebody sitting with that question, Jada?
Actually, let yourself answer. It is a very common mother wound to say to yourself, I'll think about that, or I'll think about that later, or blow past it because you're listening to this at 1.5 speed and just keep listening. But actually stop, open your notes app, write a couple things down, because you are worth the time it would take to open the app and actually think of an answer.
I love that, Jada. Just, yeah, pause.
Yeah.
And do it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never thought of the fact that like, I'll do it later. Yeah, no, I'll sit with that.
Oh, yeah.
Is a response to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, so guilty of every self-help book I ever read with the questions for reflection at the end of each chapter. Skip, keep reading, just take it all in. Or I'll just think about those questions, or I'll go back through and do them all later. No, you won't. And if you really think about why you won't, it's one of two things. Either you think what you're learning isn't worth the time, or that you are not worth the time. So which is it? Is this book a piece of garbage, or do you just feel like you don't have enough time for you?
That's so good. So Jada, you are sharing this little podcast series that you do to help you meet the little inner child. Is there anything you want to say about it? Because I'll link to it in the show notes. If this is something you're like, I will do this. Like, please do. I did it.
Yeah.
And it took a handful of days. And I did say there are things that I want to think about more and journal.
Yeah.
With. And I think for myself, I'm just giving permission to keep coming back to it.
Yes.
But if you're interested in that next step, Jada, would you tell us about it? I will link to it in the show notes for listeners.
Yes, of course.
Would you just tell us what they're in for with it?
Yeah. So Renurturing is a mini private podcast. It's 6 episodes. I don't think any of them are longer than like 15 minutes. And it's going to walk you through how to begin nurturing yourself in a way that you haven't before. And a huge piece of that is meeting your inner child and tending to her and building that relationship with her. And so take it one step at a time, one episode at a time. They are short and sweet, but they have so much capacity to impact you if you let them. And that really is going to give you such a taste of who I am, what it's like to work with me. And if this is pointing to something you're ready to work with and work on within yourself.
I found it to be very fruitful. I really enjoyed the 6 episodes. And that resource is available for you if you want. So, Jada, we've talked about the types of mother wounds. Mm-hmm. I think if people aren't there yet, right? Like, okay, maybe I'm still in denial or resisting this idea that I have this. Are there ways that like mother wounds show up in our bodies or our behaviors?
Yep.
Like what are we, how do they show up for us?
Yeah. So they show up. Yes, you're exactly right. They show up in your body and in your behavior. So in your body, they show up in a lot of really fun, common ways. Any right hip pain or tension, shoulder and neck pain that just is chronic, tightness or acne along the jawline, any TMJ, any teeth grinding at night, those sorts of things, acne into the ears, any tummy issues, gut issues, IBS, those kinds of things, chronic heartburn, a tightness in the throat when you have to speak or share vulnerably. What else? Difficulty sitting still, those sorts of things are all mother wounds as well. And then painful or irregular periods, PCOS, endometriosis, and then lastly, and very commonly, any autoimmune disorders, chronic illness.
That is a lot of fun stuff that manifests in the body.
It's so fun. It's so fun. And have you met a woman who doesn't have one of those things? I haven't.
I don't think so. So, I mean, that kind of gets to the whole mindset of the body keeps the score.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's where we're holding on to any or all of it. The left side of the body is where we hold any trauma related to partner wounds. So mom's partner or your partner, ex-boyfriends, current husbands, anything along those lines, up to 7 generations back. And then the right side is, because that's left side is where we receive from, and the right side is where we give from. So the mother wounds all sit on the right side. Mother wounds are held in your body when you had to take care of mom, right? So you're giving to mom. Or when mom wasn't able to meet your needs, so you had to give out of lack. That is all stored on the right side of the body. Stomach issues happen because of pain we can't stomach. So I can't process this. I can't rest and digest, parasympathetic nervous system, because I'm in fight or flight. I'm giving. I'm overproducing. I'm doing. I never give to myself. So that's how it's showing up in those bodily ways. How it shows up in your behaviors, I have a whole list of them. That's another free resource in my emails. But big ones, the most common one I ever see is there's something wrong with me. There's a belief that if I could just fix X, then I'd be successful. Then I'd be a good mom. Then I'd get back on track. Then I'd be able to handle it. But there's something wrong with me. If every time there's a conflict, you go to what did I do wrong? What am I doing wrong? That's who have I hurt? That's a mother wound. Competition with other women and girls, harshness, like harsh treatment of other women and girls, jealousy, any sort of imposter syndrome or insecurity, any body shaming, any sense of like this chronic sense of loneliness, and that feeds depression, eating disorders, that also goes back to the body. What am I missing here? Mirroring or having to mask in order to make others more comfortable. And then overworking, like workaholism, overproducing, overcommitting yourself, saying yes, doing the emotional labor of others, taking care of everybody even without being asked or wanted to do that. Those like can't help yourself kind of things. All of those are mother wounds.
Feeling the need to be in charge you have here.
Oh, yeah. Feeling the need to be in charge.
Yep. Unable to set boundaries.
Yep. Yep. I will also add, I don't know how it's phrased in there, but like kind of a fear of commitment, but with friendships, particularly female friendships, not wanting to get too close, or they do one thing wrong and it's over for you. You can't forgive them. You can't get past it. Mother wound.
So we've identified we all have a mother wound.
Yeah.
Like everybody. I mean, I don't know how to avoid that. I mean, I think even the best intentioned, I have to have you back, Jada. Like, it's like the best intentioned, the most, we're doing not just the best we can, but we're like maybe overcompensating even.
Yeah.
We're still going to mother wound our kids.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
That just breaks my heart to even think about.
Yeah.
I have to have you back to talk about this because
we will.
I want to figure this out.
We will. I would love to. Here's what I want to say about that, though. Mothers, we got to stay in a daughterhood, right? We're going to stay in our daughter place. Moms that meet our needs most of the time, like 70% of the time is more than enough, okay? That I want to be a comfort to you. Mother wounds can happen anytime needs aren't met. But if needs are typically met and there's a relationship, it's easy to repair. And it's easy for our children to say, hey, that hurt my feelings. Or no, those are not my favorite kind of cough drops. And then we can fix it, right? So it does not have to be perfect. You don't need a perfect score in motherhood, okay? But good moms provide three things: nurturing, guiding, and protecting. Nurturing is the snuggles and the kisses and the chocolate chip cookies and tucking you into bed, right? It is all of those typical mother things, braiding your hair, talking to you, sitting at the counter in the kitchen and having a chat about the boy and those kinds of things, right? Coming and taking care of you when you have a baby. Nurturing. Guidance is showing you how to navigate the world. So good moms offer guidance. They teach you how to do the things. And they teach you mostly by how they do it, right? So body image is a huge issue in mother wounds. And it's not because, sometimes it's because moms are talking about their daughters' bodies. And that's a huge problem. It's getting better generationally, all of those things. But did you watch mom look at herself in the mirror and suck in her stomach? Did you watch her measure her Special K cereal? Did you watch her read Women's Health and do Jillian Michaels videos? Like, those actions are also guiding you. And then on the relationship side, how did she stand up for herself with men? How did she navigate fights in her marriage? How did she co-parent? Those things guide you well or not well. And then the last one is protection. Mom protects you, period. There is a caveat with the protection piece, because if mom is not protected, mom's capacity to protect is extremely limited. So this is where I had the aha moment that, oh, all of my daddy issues are mommy issues. And this is where dad can be the problem and you're still mad at mom, or you're still hurt by mom, because you receive nurturing, guidance, and protection through mom. So when you're a little kid, up until the age of 3 or 4, you actually don't super know the difference between you and mom, right? So if you look at mom while you're playing on the playground and she's smiling, you know everything's kosher, right? Even if you fall and get hurt, if mom is smiling, it's probably going to be okay. But if mom's sitting on the bench crying, or in a fight with dad, or crabby as all get out at the park, you're not having any fun. There is a reason for that, right? Because there's no separation between mom and you. Okay? So if mom doesn't feel safe financially, physically, emotionally, if dad isn't available, if dad's a jerk, if dad provides but is totally unavailable otherwise, mom is not protected. And then mom can't protect well. And then mom can't guide and nurture well either, because we're focused on survival. I just threw up so much information at you. Tell me what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what questions you have.
It all makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And that's where, I mean, I was wanting to go into, like, what about a father wound?
Yeah.
Like, you know, your mom's not alone playing a role here, unless you grew up as a, like, with a single parent, right? But right. I mean, even I think people that are growing up with a single parent, there's the whoever they're not growing up with, that other person's wounded them in a way.
Yes. Right? Yes.
So what about a father wound? Like,
yeah,
I mean, how are you processing? It's hard to articulate, because it's like, you know, dad's playing a role too. So how do we process that, or the ways we feel about him? And then I guess just.
This is so good. And I think I know what you're asking. So dads. There are coaches, educators, therapists that do approach the father wound separately. I work exclusively with women, and I think it's a waste of time to work through a father wound separately. I would rather sit with you and sort through, how was the way mom was treated by dad, or the way mom responded to the way dad treated you? How did that impact you? Let's say dad isn't around. Dad isn't around, so mom has to worry about providing. Mom has to worry about making sure the kids are brave, because that's dad's role, right? Around 4 or 5, dad's job is to help separate kid from mom. He's the one that teaches you to be brave, to try the monkey bars, to jump off that thing. Let's see, right? He teaches confidence. He teaches individuality, right? This is what I know about you. And so we're able to, in a healthy way, separate from mom, because dads make us brave, because they're our protector. Okay? If mom has to try to do that too, you can't separate, because you're still connected, right? So you can't separate. And there's too much on mom's plate. There's too much going on there. And so she's not able to properly guide and nurture, and she's not able to offer the protection, because she is not being protected. And what I mean by protecting mom, I think about when I'm frustrated and I'm fired up and I've had enough of the day, my husband steps in and takes the kids outside to play while I finish dinner, right? That's protecting my energy. And that also protects the kids. So it preserves my relationship with the kids. It protects mom. And then I'm able to be a kinder mom, right? Go ahead.
This gets right back to where we started.
Yeah.
Culturally.
Yeah.
We are kicking the men out. Go provide.
Yes.
Like we're almost de facto making a father wound,
yes.
which inhibit, like makes the mother wound that much more by being like, get yes. out there and provide.
Society yep. You go provide. Work a I'll job. Handle all this.
And then mm-hmm. like culturally, we've just yeah. adjusted to normal being,
yep.
we run our asses off.
Yep.
Like, we're never home as a family.
Right.
Like it feels right. like the cards are stacked against us.
Well, and then we talk to people sit in my office and say, my dad was fine. He was never really around, but we always had what we needed and he provided really well for us. Cool. But you have no relationship with him and your relationship with your mom is so disconnected because she was so busy handling literally everything else and being mom and dad to you. So yeah, dad's fine. But he was basically absent. And so this is where it's not about how dad treated you. It's about how dad treated mom and how she was able to treat you.
And this gets back to Jada, like,
yeah,
I look at them and it's like, everyone's doing the best that they can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they are trying
totally.
To provide for a family and taking
yeah.
things and trying to do the best that they can.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, you look at culturally, like
yeah.
we just normalize so much that really pulls at the fabric of everything you're saying to like make us whole. So
yeah.
What yep. do you do?
What do you do? You heal. You heal that. We have to sit and we have to, like, this is the tricky part. We have to sit and what one of my favorite mother wound authors talks about wallowing. We have to allow or wallow in what was, right? So we have to go back and reflect on, wow, my mom never looked me in the eye when we were talking about big stuff. We were either in the car or she was in the kitchen cooking and I was talking to her, but we were never sitting eye to eye. And now it's really hard for me to sit and journal because it's hard for me to be that one-on-one with myself.
My husband and I learned about that concept.
Yeah.
We were doing a marriage class about love and respect. Yeah. And they talked about shoulder to shoulder time is what you're talking about, yeah. right? Like in the car.
Yep.
But
yep.
knee time and knowing when situations need knee time to get that eye contact.
Yes.
About and knowing when like shoulder to shoulder time. I don't know if you ever feel this way, like in the car with your husband, you're like, yes, I'm in with him. I'm going to just like drill him with all the things I'm thinking
yeah.
about. And he's like, he's in his mind ready for shoulder to shoulder time where we can just kind of zone out and look around. Right.
Yeah.
And what we're looking forward to with them is knee to knee time. Learning mm-hmm. that language helped me so much. Like, no. Mm-hmm. And he's even said a couple of times, you know, like, I'm sorry, not to get on like with spouses
nope.
in a daughter wound nope. one, but like, he'll be like, I really needed shoulder to shoulder time. And then
yeah.
for me, I just don't take offense to that. It's like, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, can we do that for 30 minutes? Cause I needed knee to knee.
Yeah.
Right? So, but that's such a good thing to think through. Like, did you get
yeah.
time with your mom?
And here's the really like the deeper level piece of that is if you didn't get knee to knee time with your mom, knee to knee time will not be comfortable for you. Because knee to knee time is about giving and receiving energy, right? We are receiving attention. We are receiving attunement. We're being seen and heard with knee to knee time. And if mom didn't practice that with you, you don't know how to handle it. And it feels like too much.
So you're encouraging us to knee to knee with ourselves. And
honor, yeah.
I mean, I guess not
exactly
with ourselves, but with like our mini versions of us.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah.
What age kid is that? What age do we do?
In my office, we will be talking and I'll say, how old is the little girl inside of you that feels that way? It's going to be different. it's going to be different. And for a long time, it'll be the same. And then it'll be different again. Because here's something really fun about your brain. It stores memory without a timestamp. So something that happened to you when you were 5 years old, if that memory comes into play and it's being reenacted in your brain forgets how old you are right now. So when you are triggered by your daughter's behavior, you're 5 years old again in your brain. It has no idea that you are a grown up and can handle this and have all of the skills. You're just transported back in time to that little girl. And so it's so important to identify who that little girl is so that you can then meet her there and say, okay, I get it. I see that you're scared. I see that you're uncomfortable. I see you're really worried that we're going to get in trouble. I want you to know that I'm 31 and that I can handle this. I was trained to handle this, and I'm going to handle it differently than your parents did. And so you can just sit back because I've got it under control. And I know that my daughter is not being ungrateful and rude. She's communicating what she doesn't like to eat. And I'm going to see her in that. And I'm going to also teach her how she can say that to me in a nicer way. And it takes time, Mandy. Like, it takes a minute for me to have that conversation with my inner child. And we had to do a lot of trust building for her to believe me. We had to go through, and I had to say, I am so sorry that I abandoned you all those times. I'm so sorry that I didn't fight for how you were feeling. I'm not going to do that anymore. And I got really selfish for a long time. Nobody got to talk to me a certain way. Nobody got to do anything. I was rigid about those boundaries so she could go, oh, this girl means business. She's not going to let it happen to me again. That takes time.
So re-nurturing and healing really just mean finding the little version of you.
Totally.
And spending time with them.
Yeah. And some of that time is going to be like, hey, let's just sit on the couch and watch TV together. And some of that time is going to be in therapy or in session with me. And we bring her with. We do a lot of Reiki with her. And she helps. It's so cute. It's so cute. Sometimes it's going to look like that. Sometimes it's going to look like just having it out with her in the car. Like it's going to look different for everybody. But for a while, I talk about healing this. This is nervous system regulation is what you're doing, right? Because you're getting out of the trigger. You're rewiring your brain to go, oh, you're 31. This is a memory. Here's how we handle it now. And so I treat it like potty training. And the potty training rule is we take our kids' understanding of their bodies from, oops, I peed, to, oh no, I'm peeing, to, I have to go pee. So I'm going to stop what I'm doing and go to the bathroom, right? So we go, oh, my 7-year-old was in charge tonight. And that's why I reacted that way. And I don't feel good about it. I need to process. Then you'll get to the point where you're like, oh, I'm melting down. I need to talk to that little girl. I'll be right back. And then you'll go, okay, dinner time is stressful. I need to comfort my inner child. Real quick, I'm just going to picture her. Yep, she's nervous about dinner being an explosive time. Don't worry, babe. I've got it. And now I've regulated before we even got there. And now she can sit on the counter while I'm making dinner, and my daughter can lose it about how she doesn't like chili. And she lets me handle it because she knows I'm the mom.
Thank you for walking us through that, because when you hear, just sit with your inner child or just heal, it feels so simple, you know, and it's like, I was going to be like, Jada, tell me why this is actually profound, because it feels like maybe this is like eldest daughter mother wounding talking, right? But it's like, okay, yeah, okay. So just find a kindergarten picture and we'll just spend like 30 minutes with her and then we'll be good.
Yeah.
It's way more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Convince anyone that's like, so what do I need to do? Like, really give them permission or help me take the next step with listeners for like, what's the case for this, Jada?
Yeah, I think the Renurturing podcast is a really tangible way to start. If you need homework, like most oldest daughters do, so you got to start there. And if you don't need that, all you got to do is start going, why am I so upset about this, in a non-judgmental way, right? We have to be so loving to ourselves. Like, my favorite thing to say to myself is, wow, that is so interesting. And notice why I'm frustrated. Notice why I'm so bothered by this. And take a minute and go, okay, well, when I was a little kid, this is what happened. How old was that little version of me? She was 6. Okay, let's go talk to her about it. And you have to have that conversation. Now, I will say, this is something that's really nice to have somebody hold your hand through. It is much easier to have somebody walk you through it in the moment. And that's where therapy, or what I do in spiritual direction, is so helpful, because you can't bypass yourself. Because at every turn, I'm going to be there saying, where do you feel that in your body? How old is the little girl that feels that way? What is she afraid of? And you can't get around me. You can just keep busying yourself, Mandy. Like, oh, I'm irritated, but I got to get the dishwasher unloaded. And you can go unload the dishwasher and ignore her.
And friends, but I will say that, therapy. That's when I actually reached out to Jada, was help me not be giving my kids a mother wound. And we had a discovery call about, like, does she feel good about being on the podcast? And what does that look like? And it was like, Mandy, you got to start with yourself. I'm not going to talk about how to mother until you acknowledge her. And I was like, damn. I wanted the hack.
Yep.
You know, and I this think feels, you're right.
It feels so inconvenient. Yeah, it feels so inconvenient. It feels like I don't have time for this. My girls are already 7 and 9 or 18. Yep. So why don't we get started? Because anything you are going to do to treat your motherhood, as it were, is a Band-Aid, not an actual solution. And you'll be masking, right? You'll be pretending you're the mom who can handle it. And that is hard on your nervous system, and that is hard on your immune system. It's hard on your body and your brain, and you are going to end up in the same spot.
I want to thank you for practicing what you preach and pushing me to focus on this for myself, and
you're so welcome,
making me start our conversation here, because I promise it will not be the last. Jada, I'm going to have to bring you back, and until I can, would you tell people how they can work with you, please?
Yes. So the Renurturing podcast is a great way to get started. Otherwise, I would love to just hang out with you for 30 minutes on a free wellness consult call. This is a chance to get to know me. I walk you through what we're looking for to find out if we're a good fit for where you're healing next. And so that is a totally free option. And it's a great way to get started on this work, that without totally overwhelming yourself too.
Awesome, Jada. And one other question. I love books. And you mentioned earlier that you had an author that you referenced. Like, if beyond the generous resources that you just gave, a free call and this podcast, like, if somebody is like, I really need to hold this and to read it maybe before I reach out or whatever, what book would you recommend, or books?
Yeah, my favorite of all time is called Mother Hunger. I am obsessed. She does such a beautiful job of explaining a mother wound in a way that does not make you feel like you have to cut ties with your mom or change your relationship with your mom now. She does such a good job of, like, just explaining it psychologically and scientifically, but without it feeling like a textbook either. So I think she does such a beautiful job.
Awesome. Well, Jada, I want to thank you so much for all of the amazing resources, knowledge, mm-hmm. wisdom, and just getting us into this space. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
This conversation with Jada left me wanting more. I'm happy to share that we've recorded a part two focused on what we pass down, the power of mothering and healing while raising kids. And I'll be airing that one closer to Mother's Day. I really enjoy the knowledge that Jada brings and the openness to explore with ease that Jada sets in a space that she's in. How can you connect with your younger self, wild one? Can you sit with that version of yourself? Can you listen to what she needs? Meet her there? Again, I feel like lately every conversation I have just validates me picking the word nurture for this year. I hope you are kind and loving, not just to yourself, wild one, but to the younger version of you as well. I want to thank you for your openness, your curiosity, your willingness to feel your way forward. Every time you choose to slow down to connect with that younger version of yourself, you're reshaping your inner world. And that shift, it ripples far beyond you. If you want to go deeper, check the show notes for everything that we talked about today. I've got the information for a one-on-one wellness consult call with Jada there and the link to her Renurturing podcast that we referenced a couple of times. And hey, if something stirred in you today, share this episode. Send it to a friend, a fellow seeker, someone who's learning to listen to their own inner wisdom. My hope in sharing these episodes so vulnerably with you is that we all learn and grow. So sending episodes that resonate with you can help both you and others to open, learn, and grow in community. This is Mandy signing off. Until next time, stay rooted, be brave, and live wildly intentionally.